You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ken Shamrock, the world's most dangerous man. And you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
Knockouts and Three Counts.
Yes, sir. This is Knockouts and Three Counts. We're here once again with another episode of Podcast Go here from the illustrious Podcast Detroit Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. Kyle?
So, if any of you guys have been paying attention to the world of MMA, our guest tonight was all over ESPN on the Ariel Helwani show and all the different media outlets. We've got the return of Miles the Fury Jury with us tonight. How you doing, brother man?
What's up, boys? Doing good. Doing good.
Man, so you've had a pretty boring couple weeks, haven't you?
Yeah, right. A lot of changes the last couple of weeks. I've known about it for a little bit, but you know, all the news breaking and all the information getting out, man.
So let's start right there. I mean, everybody knows you've been associated with the UFC for the last 6 years now. Tell me a little bit about what went into, you know, you making the switch from UFC to Bellator, and was it anything in specific, or was it something that was accumulated?
My management, man, it's all my management. They basically came and talked to me about, what was next, and they brought up an offer from Bellator, man, and it was too good to pass up. You know, I was really happy with the offer, and it came with the first fight in Ireland. Against Benson Henderson. So I was like, let's run it. And I don't know, man, I just felt like, this is just the opportunity, presented itself, man, and I jumped at it.
Well, I'm not one to, ask someone, how much money they're making, but I'm assuming that there's probably a couple more zeros at the end of this contract. But besides from the money, was there something in particular in this deal with Bellator that made you say, I think I'm going to go ahead and make this switch?
There was a couple of things for me. First off, them giving me a main event against somebody like Benson Henderson, I feel like that shows that, they want to get behind me, man. They want to, support me. They want to, put me out there and give me some great opportunities. And so that kind of showed, they were willing to step up on that end. And, as far as like the fight, man, I mean, I feel like, I just love what I do. Like, put money aside, opportunities, all this stuff aside. It's the same thing. It's this guy trying to take me out before I take him out. And I get to share that octagon with somebody like Benson, and take him out, do that. That right there is what kind of helped push me towards Bellator.
Well, Miles, I got to make a little bit of a confession, man. So we've got to know each other over with the last 2 years we've been doing the show, man. We've come to some of your after fight parties, and you've been really cool to us. But I got to tell you, man, this is going to be a really hard fight for me to watch, man, because I like to think, we've kind of gained a little bit of a friendship. But Benson Henderson is honestly one of my all-time favorite fighters, man. So this is going to be kind of hard for me to watch, man. I'm telling everybody now, I'm not making a prediction on this fight. I'm just going to watch it and enjoy it. But going into it, what was it about Benson Henderson himself that made you say, hey, I have to take this fight?
I feel like with Benson, man, that's somebody I want to have a win over, man. That's somebody I want on my resume, I want to get that belt. That's what the goal has always been, is to be a world champion, and that's it's going to put me right in line by beating Benson, man. And, why beat around the bush? Why wait around? Let's just take advantage of this opportunity now. And that's what I'm looking to do.
So now that you're over there in Bellator, right off the rip, you're getting a main event fight. You're going against Ben Henderson, a guy that I know you've watched a ton of. now that you're over there in Bellator, do you feel any sort of like big pressure now that they're, you know, touting you as the, you know, the UFC guy that's coming over? Or do you feel like because all the pressure may be on Ben for this fight that it kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off of you?
Nah, man. I mean, I feel like I've been in big fights before. And, you know, again, like, I just look at it as like, put, you know, it's the same thing, man. It's an octagon. It's a cage. It's somebody standing across from me trying to take me out. And, you know, that's just the way I look at it. You know, all that pressure that's just perceived, that's just all in the mind. And, you know, I'm just focused on going out there, you know, having a great performance and having some fun, man, and everything else will take care of itself.
Yeah, everybody, make sure you guys watch this fight September 27th. I'm pretty sure this is going to be on the Zone.
Yeah, that, and it'll be on Paramount. It'll be a tape delayed, but it'll be on Paramount as far as I know.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's definitely a tide difference there between Ireland and Detroit. But
yeah,
straight
up, I think they're 8-9 hours ahead.
Yeah, but right now you're out in California, man. So what's California life like right now, and how's the training camp going?
Man, California's awesome. You know, I'm lucky to be out here. It's the same thing every day, man. It's waking up, getting better, going to the gym. It's, you know, spending some time with my family and loved ones, and just being grateful, man. Grateful that I get to wake up every day, sun shining on me, and be able to go do, you know, my dream job and make a living to feed my family off of it.
So let me ask you this. You mentioned, you know, now that you're getting more time with the family and things of that nature, you know, what's the transition been like? I know you and Gianna have been going back and forth for a while, and I know they've been out there with you for quite a while now in San Diego. But, like, what's that like for you when you're going into a training camp, having the whole family out there in Cali? Does it help you? Does it, you know, does it bring any stresses with it?
You know, it's both, man. Like, you know, there's pros and cons to each situation. You know, when I was out here kind of, you know, sacrificing, I was out here by myself, kind of trying to get some things in order so I can bring them out here to California. You know, there's a lot of times where I missed them and I was very alone and felt depressed and was, you know, very sad. You know, I was being away from my son, missing the time, you know, him growing up and being away from my girl and, you know, just basically being alone. It was tough. You know, on the flip side, it also helped me focus. I didn't have, you know, the you know, take care of my kid or my girl or anything like that. I was just focused on myself and I could be selfish. So that was nice. But, you know, with them being out here now, it's like I come home and I'm a lot more joyful and I'm, you know, having a lot more fun with my son and just grateful to be spending time with them. And, you know, also on the flip side, though, is that, you know, sometimes it can be a lot, you know, coming home and take care of a 3-year-old and, you know, having a girl and, you know, have to attend to her needs and stuff too. So I would say I love having them out here, and you know, that's why I have them out here with me. And the pros definitely outweigh the cons for sure.
Yeah, well, we definitely know you have the big fight coming up September 27th in Ireland. I don't want to, you know, look past that fight, but what else can you see Bellator bringing to you and you bring to Bellator in the future of this new contract with them?
And do you stay at lightweight?
I just feel like I have, like, the best performances ahead of me, man. I feel like, you know, striking, grappling, you know, setting a pace, just being creative in there. All that stuff is ahead of me, man. I'm looking forward to bringing that to Bellator. And, you know, I mean, I got a huge test in front of me right now, and I'm looking to, you know, just declaring that I'm going to take out Ben. And it's the same thing, man. It's, you know, I take out Ben, I'm going to be asked for a title shot. I mean, that's what it is. So, you know, right now I'm just declaring Ben's in my way, and that's the guy on my radar.
So now that you've been around the block, you know, versus when you got in the UFC, I mean, you've been around in the UFC alone just for 6 years and been in the game even longer than that. How would you say that your time in the UFC and what you've accomplished so far with some of the names that you've been able to compete against, what do you say that's done for your, like, mindset? How do you think that's prepared you for your next chapter in Bellator?
It's been a great foundation, man. I'm proud of everything I've had done in the UFC, and I've had some big fights, man. Some big wins, some big losses, and all that has just prepared me and making me a stronger man, you know, today. And the next step is Bellator. So, I mean, I'm definitely a lot more seasoned, a lot more technical, tougher, all around the board going into Bellator. You know, with my background and having such a you know, so many fights in the UFC, you know, if I didn't have that, if I was just going into Bellator green, I would be just a lot more kind of amateurish. Right now, I'm just professional man and coming into my peak, dude. So it's definitely a plus, perfect timing.
So you talk about, you know, coming into your peak and things like that. You and I have spoke a lot about it off the air. You know, I know you just went through a leadership program that I know Jeremy Stevens went through. I know Dominic Cruz went through and a bunch of other guys that I know and you know have gone through. Tell me a little bit about that and tell me about how that's helped you both mindset-wise, both inside and out the cage and just for life. Because I know, didn't you guys just do a fundraiser for that and you raised $3,000 in a week or something like that?
Yeah. I'm in a leadership program, you know, based out of Vegas called Choice Center. And, man, we just did some cool shit, like, you know, raising $3,000 for Veterans Village out there in Las Vegas, you know, for vets that are in need of shelter, medical care, toiletries, food, anything like that. It's a 24/7 emergency response place. So definitely doing some cool stuff, taking care of some vets. And honestly, like the leadership program for me was just learning a lot about myself, learning a lot about my mind and my emotion, and going deep within myself. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we hide subconsciously, and it's, you know, usually so hidden that I got. Hold on a second.
Max trying to say hello.
Yeah. Max, hey, go to Max.
He's trying to make his debut.
He loves to wrestle, man. He just wants to punch and wrestle and all day. So it's awesome, though. That's my boy. He's just like his old man. He's throwing kicks and punches and wanting to choke me all the time.
Said Bellator need to get him a contract too, man.
Straight up, yeah, man. I've been working on his, on just, you know, little stuff like showing him how to make a fist, showing him how to punch. You know, I've been hand fighting with him a little bit, a little head position for some wrestling, and kind of toughing him up a little bit.
Yeah, I guess we're gonna call him a little hot hands then.
Right, a little fury.
Oh boy,
man, I've got. I don't want to say it's a weird question, but
weird.
Well, no, it's not really weird. I just hope you understand where I'm coming from. But do you realize how, like, you're kind of a pioneer, Miles? Like,
in that sense.
Well, especially for people here in the state of Michigan, as far as, like, you know, Michigan getting on the MMA map. We talk about the guys that were out there first. Your name definitely comes up. You have Crowshank, your Cody Stamens, your Amanda Bobby Coopers. And now there seems to be a big influx of Michigan talent coming into the UFC and Bellator. Devin Smith, you know, he's got an opportunity coming up.
Jamal Hill just signed.
Jesse Bazzi, he's in Bellator. Well, he had a Bellator fight earlier this year. So do you kind of realize that you're kind of a pioneer, and does that, you know, do you think about that? Is that something that's brought up to you?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, man, I feel like I've done some great things, you know, for the state of Michigan and represented it well, and definitely helped in that awareness of how much talent and how badass, you know, fighters are from the state of Michigan. And I appreciate that. And I just, you know, I'm happy to be a part of it, man. I mean, everybody's kind of had a play in it, you know, before me. You know, guys like Rashad Evans, Dan Severin, you know, even guys on the underground, man, that never made it to the UFC, you know, Don Richard and you know, other fighters. It's like, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have had that opportunity to put myself out there and, you know, kind of take it to the next level. And now you see, since I've been in the UFC, you see guys like Stamen now that's in there doing a great job, and other fighters that are popping up, and now guys that are on the Contender Series. So
right.
it's awesome to see, man. And I'm happy that I, I've had the opportunity to kind of, be a front runner for Michigan.
Yeah, I just had to point that out because I think a lot of times what happens is, sometimes you're too far in the forest to see the trees and really realize the impact that you made. And sometimes, you just gotta smell the flowers while you're there, man. So I just wanted to make sure that you actually realize that Don Richards and Rashad Evans were before you, but you've definitely paved the way for a lot of guys that are coming up now, man. So I just wanted to make sure that you realize that.
For sure, man. I appreciate that. And I definitely that's something that I'm super proud of. And, as I get older and when I look back on my career, that's something that I'll always kind of cherish and hold close is knowing that I represented my state well, man. And, I was one of the best to ever come out of Michigan.
So speaking of that, did you see old Don over there out there with Stipe helping him get ready for DC and shit?
Yeah, man, I seen that. I was texting with him a little bit, like, what's up, bro? How's training with Stipe? And he was just telling me about some of their training, and he's having a great time.
Yeah,
he
had nothing but good things to tell me when I called him about it.
Yeah, exactly, man. And I mean, what an opportunity for Don, because I know he's such a huge fan of the sport, and he's been around so much to be able to train with a former heavyweight champ and possibly a guy that's going to be the next champion. To train with him in his prime, I'm sure Don was just like, man, test yourself against the best right there.
I mean, can't really get too much up higher than that. But dude, hold on. Think about it this way. It really set in on me when we were talking about Mac. Do you realize we're both getting old as shit? Like, my sister's birthday is today, and I can remember you and I driving to pick her up from, like, middle school and shit, and here we are, she's 22 today, and got engaged, and just graduated college all within the last month, and I'm over here like, what the fuck, man? Like, this shit is just not cool.
Right. Yeah, man, I sometimes I think back of all the fun, great times that we've had, and seeing where we're at now, man, and it's pretty trippy, man. But I still feel young as hell, dude. I feel like my best years are ahead of me, man. And it's awesome. What's awesome to see is like seeing the trials and the tribulations that I've been through, you've been through, and how we've just keep coming overcoming things, man, and just keep becoming stronger. And having a breakdown and then we have a breakthrough, and that's the shit that I like to see, man. I look back and I'm just like, damn, like, this couldn't stop me. This situation couldn't stop me. Like, yeah, maybe I was down.
I always think back
to
you on the Ultimate Fighter when you blew out your knee, because I remember talking to you in Vegas, like, the day after. So,
yeah that's
dude.
A prime example right there. I mean, that's something could easily just, I could have made excuses and became a victim and, fed into all the pity and just kind of, just went down that road. But I didn't.
Well,
I got
better
from it, man. I became stronger.
That all comes down on you. I mean, really, in reality, I mean, you and I both were in. I mean, I remember being there when you had blown out your knee. I remember you kicking it with me when I had Achilles tendon surgery. Like, it's crazy, man, to think about that stuff. And now here we are flapping our gums on radio and shit.
for real, man. It's awesome to see, dude. It's well earned because, we work our butts off, dude. So. Great things are coming to us.
Well, I know we got to let you get out of here, man. You said you got some more leadership training stuff to take care of. September 27th, Bellator MMA, he's going to be going against Benson Henderson over there in Ireland. Anything left you want to let anybody know about the fight and let them know where they can find you on social media and all that good stuff?
Yeah, yep. Just Fury Jury on all the social medias. And, man, just love Michigan, dude, and happy to be on your guys' show, and can't wait to get back into town, man, and spend some time with all my family and friends in Michigan.
Yeah, let us know when the victory party is, man.
Ah, you already know, baby. You already know it's going to be at House of Shamrocks after we beat Benson.
Hey, so you owe me a shot, right? Because my birthday is the 25th. You fight him on the 27th. I feel like it only sounds right.
Shit, I'm always trying to get you a shot. You don't ever drink.
You full of shit.
Wait.
No,
he is telling the truth. You never drink.
I drank plenty when we drank with the mayor at your victory party because he was buying.
I got you shot for you, for sure.
Miles, I've been trying to get this guy drunk for the past 3 years that I've known him. He just never
You got drinks. Me drunk on my birthday last year.
Okay. All right, that's true.
I know. He doesn't like to drink.
Hey, he just gets his burger and his Coca-Cola, and he calls it a day, man.
Why are you hating for? I still got a six-pack, don't I?
Ain't nobody saying anything about your six-pack.
I know. That's why I'm saying, why you got to hate on me? How I eat? I'm a fat boy, bro.
Nah, man. I want you to drink the six-pack next time, man. Miles, appreciate you.
That shot. I'm going to force it down your throat, bro.
Playboy.
Miles, appreciate you, man. We'll definitely be in contact, man. And go ahead and do some work on the 27th of September, man.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate it, boys. I will talk to you guys soon.
All right.
Hell yeah. Do it up.
All right, man. Peace.
Later. Miles the Fury Jury.
So now I get to put you on the hot spot. What do you really think is going to happen in that fight?
Dude,
you already backed yourself into a corner.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I really can't pick this fight.
I felt
fight,
the same
man.
Way when he fought Cowboy. I was really upset about it. I was like, oh, shit, I always love Cowboy, but I can't go against Miles.
Like, you got to realize, man, like, I've talked about how John Jones is my all-time favorite fighter, and then Anderson Silva's in there. Like, Benson Henderson is probably in that top five of my all-time favorite fighters.
He's great. I love Benson. I don't have not a no word to say about him.
I just remember watching, like, I don't remember who he fought, but it was a fight in WEC. I forgot who it was. This guy had him in, like, a knee bar or something, and I'm sitting there like, dang, Benson about to lose. And, like, the guy was so just, like, weirdly flexible, and it looked like his knee was, like, no, it was his arm. That's what it was. His arm was, like, it was dislocated. And somehow he got out of it, ended up winning the fight. And I'm like, I don't know who this guy is, but I'm a fan. And plus, he kind of looks like my friend Julian, too. So, and, you know, like I said, Miles, man, he's invited me. I mean, I know you've known Miles pretty much most of your life. But, you know, for him to, you know, invite me to his victory parties and to get to know him and basically, you know, become someone that I've become friendly with, man. It's hard to watch this fight, man.
Yeah, I felt the same way when he fought Cowboy. And, like, that's why, you know, it's funny because I feel that way with most of the guests that we end up getting on the show. At mm-hmm. least people – at least the ones that I've trained with.
Right.
Like, I tell people this all the time. Like, when you're actually, like, friends with these people and then you take it another step further and then you've trained with those people, like, when they step in the cage or the ring or whatever the case might be, like – dude, when they lose, you get so bummed. And then when they win, you're, like, so hyped. And I feel like those that, you know, not even about fighting, but just aren't around people that are fighting.
Right.
I don't think you'd, like, it's the same as, like, if you've got a kid or a brother who's playing football. But then when you put it in a fight sense, it's different. So,
like, perfect example. I went to Grand Rapids a couple of weeks ago to go see Muneeb fight.
Sure.
And that ended up being the main event, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the whole night, I'm like, man, this is a good night of fights. I was honestly, I was watching that and Fighter Fest at the same time. But I'm like, man, it was just a good night of fights. But, like, Muneeb, when he threw that punch and he dislocated his shoulder, I'm like, and we just had this guy on the show talking about this fight, how, you know, he was pumped up for it. And he was looking good in that fight. And when he dislocated his shoulder, like, it honestly, it just took the air out of me, man. I'm like, dude, it was hard to watch, man. So, yeah, I haven't trained with Muneeb, but, you know, Muneeb's...
He's the homie.
Yeah, he's...
And that's the same thing. I mean, all I'm getting at is when you're actually friends with these people.
Yeah.
Like, not just, hey, I know him.
Right.
Like, here's a perfect example, right? You used to say it all the time when you first met me, but I think you've started to understand it because you've gotten to meet so many of these guys. But, like, you used to give me so much shit because I would get so, like, into it when Miles would fight. But now you see what I mean. Like,
wait, perfect example, man. I forgot what fight we were watching. You were literally, like, shadow boxing in the fight, too. I'm like,
it was Rick Glenn. Rick Glenn.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, this dude's sitting over here shadow boxing right now.
Dude.
You're like, this is like
I wasn't shadow boxing, but
man. He was like, come on, come on, Miles.
I don't know, man. I get it. Like, and I get that way, whether it's teammate, like, teammates that I don't know real well, or like, I don't know, man. It's just something about that.
Oh, people, you got to come whenever there's a local fight and we're there. You got to come watch it, especially if it's someone from his, that he knows. Man, he starts coaching them from the.
I can't help
sweep
it.
Sweep the leg.
I don't know about that.
Sweep the leg, Johnny.
No, dude. But like I said, I mean, anybody that's listening to this show that, you know, trains at all or is around people like that, you get it. But I don't know. Like I said, it's cool for me. I'm excited to see Miles get his shot in Bellator. I think him going to Bellator is finally going to give him a shot to be on that top platform. Like, he could be one of their top guys over there. Because even though, obviously, I'm a little biased, I don't think that it's too far-fetched of a statement to say that if Miles can go in there and beat Ben Henderson, then he's right there for a title, if not in the top two, top three, and even without the Ben Henderson fight.
You don't give him Ben Henderson unless you think that.
Right.
You know, this is a super fight, and it's like basically a number one contender.
Not to
fight.
Mention, not only did they give him to him, he's the main event, and you're doing it in Ireland.
Right.
So, I mean, again, for those that don't know, like, usually when you go into an organization, you got to work your way up the card. If he's going right to the main event and right against Ben Henderson, that tells you that they consider him to be a hot pickup.
And like I kind of say, I didn't want to get, you know, too much into the details of his contract, but one thing that Jim Ross, you know, WWE Hall of Famer, you know, the voice of professional wrestling.
Well, he alluded to it on Ariel Helwani's show.
What?
They talked about the contract.
Well, but Jim Ross has this famous saying, like, usually whenever there's a dispute or a change like that, it's usually about two things, cash or creative, the two C's as he calls them. And basically what it sounded like to me was, it was both of them, you know. Yeah, Bellator probably threw a nice amount of money at him. And plus, the creative is putting him in the main event of a fight against one of the best fighters in the history of the game, and, you know, in that that size, you know, weight class.
Yeah.
So, definitely a great opportunity for Miles, and just hope he takes advantage of it and, you know, get the job done. Even though it'd be hard for me to watch.
I hear you, dude, because I'm a big fan of Benson, too. But I felt the same way when he fought.
Wait, I'm going to bail myself. Met the guy twice, man. He's a cool guy.
So let's see. Where do we go next? You've had all this stuff going on. You've talked a lot about it. What are your thoughts on Bray Wyatt and what they're doing with him now?
Okay, so full disclosure, did not see Monday Night Raw. But I'm loving it, man.
Did you like the way they debuted him, though, with Mick Foley?
Wait, that wasn't his debut.
Well,
his debut was Finn, but I love
right,
it. Yeah.
Right, but what I'm saying is, like, that was just him coming back and attacking somebody. By the time he got to Mick, they had already kind of outlined that he was going to go after Finn. I feel like we didn't necessarily know that that was...
We didn't know that he was going after Finn?
Well, I don't want to say no that
he attacked Finn the week before.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm just saying that was like his first, I would say, big move. I mean, attacking Mick Foley. Mick Foley's a legend. So.
All right, well, let's put it like this. From everything from Raw, Raw Reunion. From Raw Reunion, I thought that honestly was one of the better parts of it because it helped someone that needed a little boost. You know, him coming out and attacking Mick Foley with his own move, it's like, oh, man. And then that whole lights going out and the spotlights and stuff right. like that, great move. It's definitely building up this The Fiend character. And then the next night on SmackDown, for him to pop up as the Mr. Rogers character, you're like, oh, yeah, The Fiend accepts your challenge. But,
dude,
I love it, man. Dude, I love this. Like, I love this.
It's dope.
All I'm saying is that he has to continue to beat people. He has to keep attacking people, and he has to win matches. You cannot have him lose.
I have no argument with that at all. Like, that was one of my biggest gripes with when he became champion. I just felt like he was never really given up.
You got to put the rocket on his back, man.
Yes, dude. Like, if you're going to do it, do it. But don't half-ass do it and then just let it die.
Right.
Like, if you're building this up to be the big character that it looks like you're trying to build it up to, then do something with it. if you don't, you're going to screw it up. But another thing that I was very happy to see on Monday, because I think it's long overdue. How about the Good Brothers getting them some tag team gold last
week? Oh, they won the titles?
Yes, sir. They won in a triple threat against the Revival, Usos, and I think it was Fatal 4-Way. There might have been another team, but I just know they won.
Wait, first of all, before we get to the Good Brothers, do you think we're going to see the Usos kind of move down in the card, seeing as how they keep getting into trouble?
They don't keep getting in trouble. One of them keeps getting in trouble. Let's be clear.
But they're a team.
I still don't think they're going to go down too far, and I'll tell you why. Because granted, they probably already had it that way, but we all know that they can change things. I mean, you had the big thing with Rikishi on Raw. They were still in the tag team.
And then literally like 3 days later,
and
he gets arrested,
and,
man.
And here's the thing.
After John Cena said it on TV, like, you getting arrested. Like,
and here's the thing with that. Like, the Usos have one ace in their pocket that not many other ones do. The fact that there's not as many tag teams in WWE, and they are arguably one of the best tag teams in the world.
True.
Even if Vince does, you know, push down a card for a little while. If you have any goal of sustainably making your tag team division better, especially if the looks of things are looking like they are with the whole Raw and SmackDown not really being split like they were.
Right.
Eventually, they're going to have to come back if he has any hope of the tag team.
So here's an interesting kind of a debate I was having with someone. All right. With this whole AEW, if you want to call it a war.
It's not a war.
I'm just saying, if that's what you want to call it. With the pressure now, having, you know, better creative with AEW coming in and WWE not wanting talent to go over to AEW, can they discipline their guys when they mess up like this? Because, yeah, they could. If they push them down the card and their contract is coming up, I don't know if it is, but let's just say their contract is coming up in January, and the WWE decides, hey, you know, you guys have been messing up. We're going to push you, you know, cool you down for a while. They could just go over to AEW now. So does this put WWE in a situation where it's kind of hard for them to discipline their guys when they keep getting DUIs?
I think they're going to back themselves into a problem. Not WWE, but I mean, at a certain point, like, it's the same thing I said with John Jones. Like, whether it's WWE, UFC, and whomever it is that's the one that keeps doing whatever it might be in said case.
Right.
Eventually, it's going to get to a point where you're either going to have to do something, make an example, or you're going to have to let it go.
But can you, though? Because, like I said, if you piss the Usos off and they leave and go to AEW and flourish over there.
This is Vince we're talking about, though. Harper wanted to leave, too, and he didn't let him leave either. So don't think for a second that if it really did get down to that point, that they wouldn't find some way to – some kind of fucking way.
But you also got to realize, too, Vince kind of has, like, this history of – not wanting disgruntled people around him.
Oh, sure.
Like, he said, basically, it's like, if you want
right,
to go,
but
go.
You also
but
just,
now he's starting to not let these people go. Like,
right.
Like I said, Harper had a whole letter saying, you know, thank you for my time here, because he thought he was being released, but they keep him. So, and they still haven't used him on television. So, are you going to now have a whole bunch of disgruntled guys there just because you don't
that's
want them
what
to
I
go
was going
to
get at. I don't know that he's going to let anybody go. If what's been going on so far is evident at all, I mean, it is what it is. So forgive me for getting off the subject and not neglecting to mention it. Did you watch UFC 240?
I did not.
Not at all?
Let's just say there's
you
a
had,
lot,
you had
there's extra, a lot going on right now.
He
in the
had
world.
Extracurriculars.
No, that's not true. There's a lot going on in the world of Devin McKenzie right now, and I'll definitely jump into that more next week when more details are available. Let's just say there's a big announcement coming up. But, yeah, I wasn't able to make it out for
so,
240. Although I saw Cyborg won.
Okay, but that's one of the things I want to talk about. So I would say after this one, I would say it's kind of hard to argue Max Holloway is the best featherweight of all time.
I mean, who else is there?
I mean, he's beat everybody. And Frankie put up a fight. Don't get it twisted. Like, Frankie did not go down like a hoe. But at the same time, this was a fight where I feel like it was evident that Holloway had the edge through the majority of the fight. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Frankie had his moments.
Right.
I'm not saying he didn't at all, because Frankie got in there and did probably the best job anybody's really done of what's up, Alicia? Frankie did probably the best job out of anybody as far as being able to close that distance and getting close to Max. That being said, I mean, as far as the pace of the fight and when it got down to the end of the fight, who did I think, you know, was winning? I mean, I think it was pretty clear for me for Holloway.
So I guess the question is that Max tried tried himself at lightweight. Didn't necessarily go the way he wanted to. Comes back to featherweight, defends his title. He's obviously the greatest featherweight of all time. What does he do now? Does he keep going featherweight and, you know, cutting all that weight? Or does he try his hand again at lightweight? What do you think?
I don't know, because if there's any truth to the rumored fight that I read about earlier, I mean, that could change a few things. I've heard the rumor that they're talking about putting McGregor versus Aldo 2 together.
McGregor versus Aldo?
Yeah.
At featherweight?
Again, I don't know if there's any legitimacy to that, but...
You think that would be featherweight or lightweight?
Featherweight. Well, Aldo don't fight lightweight, so it would be either featherweight, and Conor cannot make 135. Shitty can barily make 145.
That's what I was about to say. I don't see him trying to make 145.
Yeah, but the only way that fight happens at lightweight is if Aldo wants to go up to lightweight. And so,
I mean, I thought he was talking about moving up to lightweight.
He's talked about it, but again, I think that the weight is all just going to determine on where Aldo wants to go, because I don't really see Conor trying to fight at featherweight. So if I had to bet, I wouldn't be shocked that it happens at lightweight. But who knows? I mean, maybe Conor ends up wanting to go back there because his last couple fights at 55 haven't gone so good. But who knows, man? I don't know if that fight's going to happen, if it's not going to happen. You know, the other big story for me coming out of UFC 240, like, first of all, Felicia Spencer, although I didn't think at any point that she won the fight, I mean, she got in there and scrapped. She cut Cyborg in the first minute of the fight and had her shit split. So she definitely got in there and fought. But, I mean, again, another big performance for Cyborg. And out of the fight, so on the same episode that Miles was on of the MMA or Ariel Helwani show, mm-hmm. I think it was the same episode. I could be wrong. Anyway, Cyborg was just on the Ariel Helwani show and straight up said that she will not fight in the UFC again unless she gets apology from Dana White and Joe Rogan.
For what?
So, well, for Rogan, because if you listen to the commentary, like, she felt like he was making it seem as though Spencer was in the fight a lot more than she really was. And he said that Rogan's always kind of slighted her, I guess. But he said, more importantly, she said that she feels like her biggest issue was Dana White. I don't know if Joe Rogan said it, because I didn't hear much of the commentary during the fight because I was watching it at B-dubs. But essentially, she was saying that she feels like Dana has never really promoted her at all. Like she said, and that Dana White's kind of been trashing her since she was in Strikeforce.
I can't really argue with that.
And I can't. And when I actually sat and thought about it, like, think about it. Look how long it was till she actually came over to the UFC. And then,
well, part of that was because there wasn't a weight division there. But,
sure, that was part of it. But still, even when she got there, now she's lost, you know. Why would someone who hasn't lost in 14 years, and it wasn't like Nunez, just like ran in 30 seconds and just fucking killed Cyborg. Now, granted, she knocked her out, but Cyborg got her shots in too and everything else. So it wasn't one of those where, like a Masvidal with Askren, where he just runs across the cage, knocks him out in like 2 seconds.
But it wasn't too far off, though.
No, she lost. But again,
it wasn't too far off.
She lost, but sure. Okay, now you beat Felicia Spencer. Her next fight should probably be against Nunez, unless there's already a fight lined up.
Okay. Let me address the Joe Rogan thing. Joe Rogan thing, I mean, I don't know the whole, but just from, you know, what you told me, I feel like she needs to let that one go.
Rogan, I can see. But Dana, I think there's a lot of validity.
Wait, let me finish. Cyborg is sort of like the Golden State Warriors. And in her fights, it's like going up against, let's say, the Detroit Pistons. It's just blowouts. So you have, as a commentator, you have to say something to keep people interested in that fight. You can't just sit there and say, well, Cyborg's dominating this fight. This is a piece of cake. You got to sell the fight as a commentator. So I think she kind of probably needs to let that one go. The Dana White thing, I've been saying the same thing for the longest. And like the prime example is Nunez. Nunez is she has basically solidified herself as the greatest women's fighter of all time, but time and time again Dana White has dropped the ball on promoting her. That Ronda Rousey fight against Nunez versus Rousey, you would have thought Ronda Rousey was the champion going into that fight. Watching the embedded series, it was literally like 45 minutes of Ronda Rousey and maybe like 10 minutes of Nunez. He at Mighty Mouse. Tyron Woodley. You can name countless examples of times that Dana White has dropped the ball on promoting his champions and these up and coming people. He has his people that he likes, and then when they lose, he doesn't give the rub to that next person. So yeah, I could definitely see her Cyborg's playing on that one.
I mean, and the perfect point of it is, like, if you look at even look at the Holly Holm fights that Cyborg had, okay? I mean, arguably, take the record part out of it. As far as names that people know, everybody knows Holly Holm. Holly Holm's the one that beat Ronda Rousey.
Right.
Or the first one, anyway. So you've got the first woman that beat Ronda Rousey, arguably probably one of the biggest names that you've got as far as female fighters in the UFC. I would say is a fair argument.
True.
Versus Cyborg, has not been defeated in 14 years. I mean, the hype for that fight should write itself. So, I mean,
they do a terrible job of promoting.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of validity to it. Yeah, the fighter needs to do it too. But essentially, what I got out of her interview with Ariel Helwani is Cyborg essentially was saying, my big issue is that they're going around telling people that I didn't want a rematch with Nunez. She said, I never said I wanted to. Didn't want to rematch with her. And she said, furthermore, when I went and beat when I beat Felicia Spencer, when I saw Dana after the fight, I asked him, why are you lying and telling everybody that I don't want that fight? She goes, I want my rematch. And I mean,
I'm trying to decide if I want to say this. Fuck it. I'm gonna go ahead and say it. I'm going to go ahead and say that the thoughts and views of Devin McKenzie are those of Devin McKenzie and not necessarily those of Knockouts and Three Counts on Podcast Detroit. I honestly think Dana White and the UFC has a problem with promoting people of different lifestyles, whether they're minorities or gay. Amanda Nunez, to me, should be one of the biggest stars in the world because she's an openly gay fighter. And she's great. That's a market. That's a fan base right there that you can latch on to. You know, the gay community is always looking for their champions. And you literally have the greatest female fighter of all time that's in an openly gay relationship with another UFC fighter. But UFC never really talks about that. That's promotion.
Just to play devil's advocate on that one, though, do you want somebody's, like, come up to be based around that, though?
That's the thing. The come up isn't about that.
I'm saying how the media will twist it.
No. The come up is the fact that she has defeated every woman champion that there is. But at the same time, you literally have an untapped fan base sitting there. Hey, you can't just have, you know, middle America white fans and as your fan base and not and grow. You have to find other fan bases in order to expand your company. So if you literally have the LGBT community who, whenever they get some behind somebody, they pour money into them, and you literally have an openly gay champion with an openly gay a partner who's in the UFC as well. Why not? You know, I'm not saying exploit it, but let's just call it what it is. Promotion is exploitation, but exploitation in a good way. Why not tap into that? Yeah, he had Mighty Mouse Johnson, Tyron Woodley, two African American champions. Didn't really, you know, do things to help promote the African American community. A lot of Brazilian champions that they've had, they have a hard time pushing Brazilians. But you got your
really though. I mean, Aldo got pushed like a motherfucker. So did Verdum. So did I mean.
Okay, I'm talking about in the ring, yes, but like outside, meh. But your Paige VanZant's, what's my kid?
Sage Northcutt.
Sage Northcutt.
I already knew where you were going.
Conor McGregor. Oh, you pushed the hell out of them because you can market them towards your middle American white community. But you can't really push a openly gay Brazilian woman or a black guy who, you know, talks about black issues to a middle American white community. It's hard to do that because they're not going to be able to. They're not going to get behind that. So I think
I disagree, but I get the point.
Kobe Covington.
That guy's a fucking I don't even know what to say.
Wait, but Kobe Covington's getting pushed by the UFC.
Yeah, but haven't they always embraced the loudmouth?
But what is his platform though?
I mean, I get what you're saying, and there's definitely truth to it. Right. I'm just saying they've always supported the loudmouth. I mean, case in point, look who we just had on the show. You had Miles, who was in the UFC for 6 years. He fought Cowboy. First person to knock out Gomi. Beat Michael Johnson. Fought Rafael, or not Rafael, Charles Oliveira. He fought Chad Mendez. I mean, he fought a pretty good number of big-name guys and beat a lot of them.
True.
He never was really, because Miles wasn't a shit talker.
But yeah, I agree with you on that. But
I'm not saying he should have been like promoted as like number one, number two, number three type thing. But I mean,
let me say this. At the same time, a fighter has to be able to promote themselves. That's definitely a part of it. I'm not saying it's not, but sometimes the story writes itself, and the UFC shies away from it. AKA Amanda Nunes. Cyborg. They kind of shy away from it. That's all I'm saying.
Not arguing that. I think it's still such a, even though it's so much more accepted now than it's ever been in any other time, I think it's still a hot button that a lot of people don't want to touch, is more what I think it boils down to. I don't think anybody will ever admit it, but I think that that's...
No, I agree, but at the same time...
I'm not saying it's right. I didn't say it was right. And
I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but what I'm saying is that if the UFC, case in point, Mighty Mouse was a black video game nerd. You know how many black video game nerds there are? Why wasn't the UFC pushing that more?
Again, no argument. I have no argument for anything that you just said.
All I'm saying is that the UFC misses out time and time again on these self. They're right there, just easy layup promotion opportunities, and they don't take advantage of it for whatever reason.
Again, I don't have an argument for any of that. So now we've touched UFC, we've touched WWE. What have you seen any more of the developments for All Out yet? They might have made the most hellacious triple threat match.
It's about the death match.
Fuck yes, I am.
Is it going to be a death match?
They haven't called it a death match, but you've got Darby Allin, Jimmy Havoc, and Joey Janela in a match.
Jimmy fucking Havoc.
Andy's cool as fuck, too, man.
Cool guy, man. Shout out to
Jimmy. Dude, that match is one that I'm totally looking forward to, and we totally are going to be treated to a fucking,
you know, bloodbath. So I think I've said this last week. I'm just ready for, and they just made the big announcement, October 2nd, Wednesdays is going to be the debut of, I think it's going to be called Wednesday Night Dynamite, and it's going to be airing every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. It's going to be a two-hour show on TNT. That's what I'm really looking forward to, man, because they've announced these matches with AEW talent, but in other promotions. There's a right. There's a match between the Young Bucks and Private Party that I really want to see, but it's going to be in House of Glory.
What about the match they just announced for Moxley?
Wait, I was about to say. I really want to see Private Party versus Young Bucks. I think that'd be a great match, but I want to see that on AEW. Josh Barnett versus Jon Moxley. I think that you saw the promo video.
Yes,
for
it,
right?
I did. Like, I shared it off of our page.
Freaking great. But where are you going to be able to see it?
But I think personally, on that particular match, although I'm so excited to see it, that match I don't think would work as far as an AEW thing. Because I don't know if you got to see the way they set up Bloodsport 1, but it legitimately looks like Bloodsport. Like, legitimately, there's not a ring, it's a mat, and all that shit.
Right.
I don't know that a match that's set up that way.
Well, I'm not saying, you know, definitely have that same type of match in AEW, I get you. I'm just saying it's like, yeah, you're getting me excited for all these AEW talents, but it's not on an AEW show.
No, sure. So I totally agree.
I'm just ready for the Wednesday night weekly show.
Sure, totally. I agree completely with that. I just mean in that particular match. I don't know that one would work.
Right.
But at the same time, I say that, but look what Moxley and Janela did at fucking Fyter Fest. Like, I mean, when's the last time you saw a major company do that on TV like that?
It wasn't TV, though. I don't see them doing that on TV. I see them doing that on pay-per-views and stuff like that.
Even at that, nobody's really done anything too out the way on pay-per-view in quite a while. I mean, WWE's had their spots here and there with Extreme Rules, but I'm saying nobody's really put on a full...
WWE needs to stop calling that Extreme Rules.
There's nothing
extreme about it.
I agree.
There's nothing. It's in Philadelphia, so it's extreme.
No. It's funny you say that because I was just watching Lockdown 2009 from TNA. And
Dos Manatos?
Yeah. Long story short, I now understand why people shit on the whole idea of a whole card being all cage matches.
Hey, Randy, just next time, just get on the microphone, just yell 2 minutes.
Yeah. But since we're...
I mean, I'm not on camera, so you don't even have to acknowledge that I did it. Just keep going.
We'll just call you the voice of God.
since we are being wrapped up, is there anything else you want to hit on AEW? And also, before we get out of here, we would be remiss not to let you guys know that we have, again, teamed up with the boys from Breaking Down the Ring, and they're going to be doing a big deal for SummerSlam as well, which we're going to talk a lot about next week.
Yeah, pretty much the whole show is going to be previewing NXT and SummerSlam, and there's a big announcement about the show coming up next week. Definitely stay tuned for that. And give a little bit of a teaser. If you've ever come out to any of our parties and watched any of the pay-per-views with us, you might want to come this time for sure. I would put a little bit of extra emphasis on coming out to SummerSlam and hanging out with us. We're going to be giving out a lot of great prizes and going to be doing the pro wrestling scorecards. But let's just say you definitely want to come out and hang out with us on this one. Come hang out with your boy. Nice teaser.
I mean, you gave it away.
But I didn't say shit. But you should definitely come out next Sunday and hang out with your boy and come watch wrestling one more time.
I agree. I don't even have anything about it. Aunt Bonnie, right. I see you're watching. You caught us at the end of the show, but I appreciate it.
We got any more announcements, man?
Not really, man, other than thanks to Miles Jury for coming out, checking it out. Shout out.
BCWA coming up on the 24th.
I was just about to
sorry, that. My bad. I'm going to let you go
ahead.
He got me,
but go ahead. You already started BCWA. We got that coming August 24th, same day as Evolve. What are we calling this show? The BCWA this time?
Is this Super Slam?
I don't think so. I feel like Super Slam's after that.
I forget.
I could be wrong, but anyway.
BCWA.
Anyway, it's BCWA. If you've been to any of the shows or listened to any of our shows from
the events, you know that it's not a show you want to miss. Plus, also, August 24th, we have Evolve coming here.
And Shine.
And Shine. And we should be bringing somebody from the Evolve or Shine roster on again real soon before that as well.
And we'll be bringing someone from BCWA as well.
Exactly. So Bam. We've got you covered on all the bases. Why don't we let Randy go on?
Randy's. Oh, wait. Hold on. Let's wish Randy a happy fucking birthday, man.
Aw, thank you.
It was today?
It was Sunday?
Yesterday.
Oh, that's right. Yesterday. I thought it was yesterday. I was like, I know I commented on his Facebook, damn it. Happy, I was like, please tell me birthday. I didn't. Yeah, I couldn't remember, was it yesterday or today? I might have been half
asleep. Randy just turned 25 for the seventh time.
Hell yeah. Happy birthday to him, and happy birthday to my little sister Kelsey this morning, 11th man. 11th
time?
What? You lying no. son of a bitch.
Yeah, shout out to Randy.
Yeah,
and shout out to your sister,
let me
too.
Let me get this out the way, since she always thinks that I don't ever show love. Shout out to my little sister. You're 22 today. You're still the little sister that was supposed to be a little brother, but I love you anyways. congratulations on graduating college. You're engaged. You're doing your thing. Keep doing your thing, man. I love you, and have a good day.
Oh, and real quick, shout out to my niece. She returned to podcasting. Check her podcast
out.
Oh,
shit. Check them out.
To Kenya Talks. I will be on there sometime soon. I'll let you guys know once we record that, and we're getting ready to put that out. So that's all I got. What about you?
I'm good.
All righty. Well, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, this has been Knockouts and Three Counts.
Fuck your couch.
Take care of yourself and each other. Peace.